we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for braving the storm to come out to worship with us today. My name is Chris Fluitt, and if you didn't know, you are at Redemption Church. All right. Usually people know where they come, but you never know. Also, the people online, you might not know where this is. This is Redemption Church. We're just a very friendly, excitable, brave church in Plano, Texas. And if you're ever in the area, we invite you to come out and worship with us. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm a lead pastor here, and I'm glad that everybody is here today. I'm glad that you're here today. We're kicking off our brand new series. Everybody say reboot. That's our new series. Raise your hand real quick if you've ever experienced technical difficulties. Have you ever had problems with your technology? Everybody, I have never had such participation in my church ever, right? There's like, people look excited. They're like, that's me. He's speaking to me. I'm speaking to you today. Everyone in this room, raise their hand. I'm sure that people watching or listening online, that you also were raising your hand because technology has become a huge part of our life, right? Our refrigerators now have Wi-Fi. Our refrigerators actually have webcams inside. So while you're at the grocery store, you can check out what's inside your refrigerator. Did you know this? It's a thing. Yeah. Skynet is coming. You have been warned. All right. Our phones are no longer phones. They're actually supercomputers that have every kind of app or software that you can think of. The International Space Station streams a webcam. Think about that. I don't know how they get the wire all the way up there and back. But you can just about stream. Micah gave me one of those looks like, I do not approve of that joke at all. So judgmental. All right. You can stream anything. People are pulling out their phones and literally it goes all over the world immediately. As we grow more reliant on technology, the more stress comes when our tech is not working. I really like the commercial. It's like 5 seconds since the internet has been off in the house and the whole family's like going into a post-apocalyptic environment. It's like it's been 10 minutes since there's been no internet and they're like, what are we doing? Just running around screaming. That's not far from true. That's where we are. One of the things I Google the most is tech support. Anyone else? Like, what is the helpline for my Samsung Galaxy Note 7? Is that it? The one that explodes on you? All right. This is something often Googled at the Fluitt home. How do you fix ... All right. What's the support number? When things go wrong with our tech systems, what is the first thing we're told to do, usually by the tech support? They usually ask this question. Y'all are totally on this. It's actually become like a running joke in help desk circles, right? Here's the question they ask. Have you tried turning it off and back on again? They ask that every time. If you call with help with your phone, they're like, have you tried shutting it off, turning it back on? Your computer, anything you could think of, your gaming system, on and on and again. Mistakes happen in the area where operating system and hardware meet. Those things are supposed to communicate. Sometimes they don't quite communicate like they're supposed to. And often a reboot will help reset the communication for your tech, thereby fixing it, all right? At least that's what we're told, all right? It is only a matter of time before errors occur in any software or in any technology. And the restarting of the system takes care of most errors. You following me so far?
Yeah.
When it comes to you and me, when it comes to us, we also have operating systems. We have a moral code that we live by. We have a consciousness inside of us. We have a system inside of us that I would tell you I believe is created by God.
Amen.
That He is the creator and He's placed this operating system inside of us. We have a heart.
Amen.
We have a mind. We have a soul. And it's only a matter of time before how we are intended to operate and the life around us starts to form errors.
That's right.
We have errors when we don't live according to the operating system. Way back in the Garden of Eden, there was a system error. You could think about it this way in technological terms. Back in the Garden of Eden, when man fell into sin, there was a system error. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us about the seriousness of this error. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. All right, I want you to get this picture. Way back in the Garden of Eden, there's this system error when sin entered into the heart, when it entered into the mind, and when it entered into the soul of man. It brought forth death. Sin came, and because of sin, death came. Anybody a fan of death?
No.
I didn't think so. This is how it came into existence. I would like to tell you that sin is like the blue screen of death. If you've ever had the blue screen of death, it is a terrible thing to see on your computer. It pretty much means you're really in bad trouble. You're probably toast. Or the red ring of death. I believe that's the Xbox. Am I right? All right. I'm trying to be culturally hip and relevant, right? It's hard work. Really hard work. These things happen and whoa, it's not supposed to do that. Have you ever showed off your technology and it does something it's not supposed to do? You're like, it's not supposed to do that. These things pop up and it's not working like it was intended to work. When we look at the world, isn't that kind of how we feel? You know what? This world is not quite working right. When we look at our government system, right? There are things that pop up here and there. And we're like, is it really supposed to be like that? When you hear stats about children dying from hunger all over the world, isn't there something that pops up and you says, I don't think that's working quite right. All of this started in the Garden of Eden. That was the system error. And I'd like to tell you, it seemed like it would never be fixed. It seemed like it could never work out. It seemed like we were doomed by the system error. I would like to tell you that mankind was not supposed to die. No, we weren't. That was not how the system was intended to operate. God created this system without death. But now, because of sin, all die. Mankind was not supposed to hurt or kill each other. These are not in the original manufacturer's settings. No rape, no stealing, no greed, no evil, no hate, no racism, no sexism. This was not a part of the operating system from the beginning. It was not. When we look around at the world, we know that something just is not right. Just like you know that your computer's getting slow, just like when your phone starts to hang up on startup, it just starts to hang there, you know, and you get the Android thing and it just like stays there and you're like, well, it's going to load any moment. It's going to, and like 10 years later, it's still there.
Yeah.
Or how about this? You notice new, strange programs running on your computer that you did not install.
Yeah.
All right. Shut that thing down immediately. If that starts happening, you've got a virus. It's bad. We look at this world and we just know it's not right. We might not have all the answers for it, but it doesn't take a genius to look at the society that we're living in, the culture that we're living in, and say, you know, this is just not right. Families, are families operating like they should? Marriages, I would tell you that marriages are all but completely shutting down in our world. Greed is rampant. Hatred is accepted. Pride runs wild in us. Stealing and lying, that's only wrong if you get caught. And then while all this is going on, what do? We look elsewhere because we don't like to focus on the problems. That's why we look to drugs, right? Drugs, both legal and illegal, are taken to help us manage how we feel about the problems of this world. I would tell you this, that we look to anything to distract us from the problem. We need to not only admit that we have a system error, we need to admit that the system is down. The system's down. When it comes to our government, I know we're about to elect a president, and I tell you, no matter who is elected, number one, I'm going to pray for them, but number two, I'm not going to expect great things. That's where I'm at. Can anyone relate to that? No, I've seen enough of our government to know what to expect. The system's down there, not just in this government. It's better in this government than in most governments around the world. Can you imagine? There are even worse governments and situations going on. When it comes to our culture, system's down. System's down. When it comes to our homes, when it comes to our hearts, our minds, and our souls, I would tell you that the system is completely breaking down. Nothing is working like it was intended to work. So let's be specific real quick. As painful as it is, I'm going to give you some things, that a little checklist in your life. Maybe these things are down in your life right now. How about this, your finances? Is your finance a down system right now? Chances are good you are one of the 258 million Americans in debt. 80% of Americans are in debt. The way we think about money is completely broken. The way we spend money is completely broken. Chances are good that you struggle with your financial budget or your credit cards, or you have no savings plan. That's broken. That's broken. Our health, let's talk about that. 2 out of 3 Americans are overweight or obese. 2/3. 74% of men are considered overweight. We are running rampant with health problems. Y'all agree with me, right? I'm not like telling you anything that's not news to you. We're running rampant with health problems. We take drugs for everything. And are we even sure that the drugs aren't causing more problems than they're fixing? Our relationships. Divorce is above 50% when it comes to marriages. Friendships seem fake in the day and age of social media. Would y'all agree? I'm off base, Michelle. Am I doing good? Oh, I'm good. Thank you. All right. Many people are lonely and depressed. A true friend seems really hard to find in the year 2016. In fact, have you ever wondered why someone might have committed suicide? I would tell you, you can be assured that loneliness and depression played a role in them taking their life. Our spiritual lives. We have churches everywhere. We have online and television channels that broadcast Christian programming 24 hours a day. We have more Bibles. We have more translations of those Bibles. We have more study materials. We have more books written on spirituality. But the spirituality of the average American is collapsing in on itself. Are we growing in our spiritual life, or is it falling apart like every other thing in this broken world? Our hopes, our dreams, our goals. These important things that you feel like you're supposed to do in the world. Have you ever felt like, I'm here on the earth for a purpose? I've got this dream that's bigger than me that I need to fulfill. I see needs there and I want to go answer them. These kind of things. We're talking our dreams, our hopes, our goals. Are we even coming close to fulfilling these things? The system error that happened with Adam has caused a complete system downage. And we have to admit today that there's a system error. We have to admit today that it is not working, that the system is down. Are you with me?
Jesus.
All right. Have you tried turning it off and back on again? You see, the worst thing you can do is to just continue doing what you're doing.
Right.
If things aren't working, maybe you should try something new. All right. If you just continue down the same path like everything is okay, that is the worst thing you can do. You have to make a change. Somebody say change.
Change.
It's not pleasant to hear. It's not pleasant to hear. In fact, it's kind of comical to me every 4 years when we have big elections, you have candidates come in and say, I'm going to bring change to society. I'm going to bring change to our government. I'm going to bring change to this and that, new ideas and retweaking, and we're going to change all this thing. And everybody's like, man, that is awesome. You go do that. We're going to hire you to go do that, right? Because we like to hear about other people changing. We don't like to hear about how we need to change, right? It's like, absolutely, hire a Republican or Democrat to go do that. Awesome. I did my part. I voted for them. No, the society that we're living in is going down. Not only do they need to do something in Washington, but we need to do something. And hello, church, we need to do something. See, that's not pleasant to hear that you need to change, that you need to be change in the world. That's not as pleasant to hear as, woo, my candidate's going to go out and change things. Newsflash, candidates very rarely change things. I'm sorry, that's another subject. I'm a little down on government these days. All right, we need to make a change. There are things we need to shut down in our life. There are things we need to remove from our life. There are things that we need to restart in our life. If we continue without making a change, it's not going to be a good time. It's not going to be good. It will not be the life we want. Can we agree with that?
Amen.
Now, this is weird, what I'm about to do here, I guess. It's often hard for us to see this in ourselves. One of the hardest things is to see in yourself that you need to change, that you need to be different, that you need to act different. But we often easily see it in other people. So let's look at it in someone else first before we talk about us. Let's look at it in someone else. I figured the need to change is easy to see in a meth addict. Would you agree with that? You probably have seen pictures demonstrating the sharp decline of meth users. In fact, you have probably seen this very picture. It lives online all over the place. This picture starts with a 28-year-old woman who is attractive. Right? She's 28 years old. She's got a long life to live in front of her. And then it gives you the next year. At the age of 29, and you see noticeable, drastic change in this person. And the years continue in this picture, as do the mugshots, until she looks unrecognizable. And 10 years later, she's dead at the age of 38. At the age of 38, she is gone from this earth, and she does not look like the same person. She looks like someone who is about 60, 70 years old. She looks like she is completely falling apart. Sorry, Dad. I made a mistake, everyone. Nothing 60 and 70-year-olds are in their vitality. We love them. All right. God bless them. All right. All right. So in 10 years, this woman is going down this path. So I ask you this. Did this woman need to change?
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you be judgmental and tell this woman that she needs to change? No, not at all. Because you see the trajectory of her life. We're not judging this person. We're not judging their soul. We're saying, good Lord, can't they see that there is a trajectory in their life and it is on the downward trend? That's not judgmental at all. It is clear that the trajectory of her life is not headed towards success. It's not headed towards happiness. It's not headed towards a pretty house with a nice family in it. It's not headed towards a good job and a financial plan. It's headed towards death. You didn't have to go 5 years into this picture to realize it. The people who knew this woman understood her outcome long before her final demise appeared. The people that knew this woman, that loved this woman, surely knew she's going to kill herself. We might find her dead in a ditch. She might just waste away to nothing. They knew this long before the day of her death, didn't they? Because you can see the trajectory so easily in someone else. But can you see, can you understand the trajectory in your own life? And can you see it in time to make a change? So I want you to think about your future without corrective change. Because that's what this meth addict had, right? She had a future without corrective change, and it really was no future at all. What will your life look like if you don't ever change? What will your health look like? Like if you're overweight right now, they say that if you have this unhealthy habit, you'll just continue to gain pounds. Last December, I was rudely awakened to the fact that I was heavier than I'd ever been. And I'm like, how did this happen? Well, it happened just year after year, gaining a little bit of weight, gaining a little bit of weight without correctively changing my life. What's your health going to look like if you don't change in the future? What is your relationship going to look like? Maybe already you kind of feel like you have a relationship in your life. It could be a marital relationship. It could be your children. It could be a friendship. It could be any of those things. But you see an unhealthy trajectory forming in this relationship. What is that relationship going to do without a corrective change? Your career. If you aren't where you want to be in life, are you at least trying to go that correct trajectory? We are really good about complaining about our careers and our jobs without doing anything to change our careers and our jobs. We're experts at it. Your spiritual life. It's sometimes sad to say that's one of the fewest things we think about. Is your spiritual life headed on a proper trajectory? Are you actually growing in your relationship with God? When was the last time God used you in a way? When was the last time you shared your faith? Where is your trajectory when it comes to your spiritual life? I'm talking more than, well, I go to church. Do you realize what a flat line spiritual life that is? Well, how's your spiritual life? Well, I go to church. Great, I'm glad you're here. But man, don't you think God has more for you than attendance? All right. Your finances. Man, when we're talking about finances, people are like, oh, don't back off for a second. Listen, your finances are important. You should, if you are in debt, you better start right now with a trajectory that gets yourself out of debt. You need to change your life. I'm telling you this before Christmas comes. If you're in debt right now, don't you go just blowing all this. Don't go pulling out credit cards. Don't open the mail and go, oh, thank goodness, a new credit card. We'll charge this one up on the gifts. No, change your trajectory when it comes to your finances. Do it now. Do it now. I hope that's refreshing. We're not asking for your money. We're asking you to spend your money wisely, to make plans with your money, to live life on a positive trajectory. You should not be worrying from paycheck to paycheck. You should be building wealth from paycheck to paycheck. What will your life look like without corrective change? That's what we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks. You've probably heard that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again but expecting different results. Real quick, raise your hands. You heard that before? Just doing the same thing over again, but expecting different results. All right? You see this all the time, right? People complain about their relationship. I just can't ever find a good man. Well, where do you meet all your boyfriends? At a bar, at a nightclub, at... You might want to try something different, right?
Yeah.
That's not crazy, but it's crazy to continue down the same path. It's crazy to, if you keep having relationship problems, keep dating the same kind of relationship problem, right?
All right.
It's insane to think that we can stay the same but have a different life. That's crazy. If you want a different life, you got to change. If you want a different life, you have to stop for a moment going, all those people are unfair to me. Stop focusing on all those things. Focus on you. Focus on changing you. Focus on changing this, your brain. Changing this, your heart. And changing this, your soul.
All right.
You change that, I guarantee you, you're going to be happier. Now, this is kind of dark to think about. And I know it's already been like a really light, easy sermon so far, right? It's been so good. All right. This is kind of dark to hear, but I want you to hear me out. Your current trajectory and state of life already reveals what you are going to be like when you die. Smiles all around the room. The trajectory and state of your life is already revealing your future, just like that meth addict. It revealed already her demise. Or, it doesn't have to be negative, your trajectory and the state of your life can reveal your future success. All right? It already reveals it. So, there's another part of the sentence I need to add. Your current trajectory and state of your life already reveals what you're going to be like when you die, unless you experience a corrective change. If your life's going to be different, there has to be a moment where you go, I'm going to be different. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go for a new job. I'm not going to be in a bad relationship anymore. All these things, you've got to have that corrective change. The way you live right now is going to be how you look when you die, unless there's that moment of change in your life. Are you opposed to a corrective change? Why not make a change today? You don't have to wait for January 1st, National Change Day. Everybody go hits a gym in the first week of January, right? You don't have to wait for then. Those gyms are open now. You don't have to run to Barnes & Noble on January 1st and buy a self-help book. They're already open, Barnes & Noble, right now. All these things. You don't have to wait till January to decide I'm going to come to church and really commit to God. You can do it right now. Your corrective change, it doesn't run by calendar. It can happen today. I want to tell you about the best change that you can make as I close. The best way to correct your tech system errors is to do a system restore. Raise your hand if you know anything about a system restore. Know anything about a system restore? Well, I'm impressed by the amount of nerds in this room right now. I love it. All right. Here's what a system restore is. A system restore allows users to restore their computers to a previous state. All right? Without losing the personal data. So, in other words, there is a time before all the problems appear. And you want to get your computer to start operating like it used to, right? Before the viruses came, before the system errors came, before you accidentally installed Internet Explorer, stuff like that. And this moment beforehand is saved so that you can jump your computer back to this state before the problems came. Are you following me? What you need in life is a system restore. Does this make sense? In some cases, the restore point is called a system image. Everyone said image. because it takes a snapshot of your hard drive disk so that it can put itself in that condition once again. So it's called an image. So how do we take advantage of this restore point in our day-to-day life? Can we go back to a point before we got that credit card and went hog wild? Can we go back to the point before we said something we shouldn't have said to our spouse? Can we just, like, I'm sorry to tell you that there is no file that allows you to time travel. That's true, right? That's correct. All right, good. I have an official expert on hand to tell me I'm right. All right, there's no such thing. In fact, even if you were able to time travel, right? So you time travel, and maybe you didn't do those bad things with the credit card. Maybe you didn't say the stupid thing to your wife. But guess what? That doesn't fix the real problem that you had that motivation inside of you to say them. It doesn't change your lack of self-control with money. It doesn't change your heart. It doesn't change your mind. It doesn't change your soul. So even if you could time travel, you see, that is the case, right? When we have problems in our life, we like, man, I wish I could go before that and just not say those things. Don't you get that that's the problem? That is avoiding the thing that's wrong inside of you. That's you saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have made that mistake. Instead of saying, man, I wish I wasn't broken inside. I wish I cared more about my wife than to say such hurtful things. Instead of, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. That got me in trouble. I wish I understood the value of a dollar more than, man, I wish I wouldn't have bought all that garbage. You get it? So you don't need to just go back in time. You need a heart change. You need a mind change. You need a soul change. And can I just tell you, Back to the Future, if it taught us anything, right? Michael still had problems. What was his name, Michael? I don't forget. You don't just change the situations, you got to change on the inside out. The motivation, all of those things. When it comes to sin, you and I have no system restore point before the moment we were sinners. Right. All of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah. And we've already read how sin entered through Adam. And now all have sinned. Right. So guess what? We don't have a restore point. Chris Fluitt doesn't have a restore point. Man, last week before I committed the sin of gluttony at a CC's Pizza over the weekend, I'll go back to that moment because I was without sin there. No, that point does not exist. Psalm 51:5 says this, that we are shaped and formed in iniquity. Even while you are being formed before your birth, you are being formed inside iniquity and sin. You and I cannot provide a restore point. So, where can we find a file that will take us back to a state where we have no such sin errors? Maybe birth. Maybe we could just go back to our birth, right? So before you were 2 weeks old and said that curse word, Adrian, she cursed really early. She spoke early, which is very impressive, but curse like a sailor. Kidding. All right. Maybe you could come back to this. No, because I just told you were shaped in iniquity. And all have sinned. Sin came through Adam. We all come from Adam. So guess what? Your birth, it's going back in time, but it does not change your motivation. It doesn't change your heart. This is not a restore point for you, not your birth. What about, I know this, anybody church history buffs? Let's go back to the birth of the church. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Wouldn't that be awesome? So we'll just go back. If there's any way to be holy and righteous, what if we were there when the Holy Spirit first came into mankind? We'll just go back to that restore point. Nuh-uh. Because even they were sinners at that moment. They were sinners, even while God was moving and doing something in them. Let me tell you that the church of Jesus Christ is powerful and it's awesome to be part of, but the church doesn't restore anyone. The one we worship does. So that church, that doesn't work. What about the law? What if we would go back to the law of God. We're talking Old Testament. We are going back to the very moment where God's finger is writing the Ten Commandments. Is there any better way to be holy than to be right there and like, oh, there's the Ten Commandments. Now we're going to live by that. Now we've found a restore point with the law of God. No. Doesn't work that way. In fact, the Bible tells us that the law isn't here to restore us. The law is here to convict us and to condemn us. The law shows us how far we don't measure up. The law is not a restore point for us. That won't work. What about the flood? You talk about an ultimate restore point. The world was so sinful that it says that it was in man's heart to do evil all the time. That's what the Old Testament says. All the time. What are you doing right now? Doing evil. All the time. That's what they were doing. And so God wipes the earth clean and just pulls out Noah and his family. So surely that's the restore point. No, because the earth was covered and washed by water, but the heart of man was not washed by water. The heart and soul and mind of man still needed a restore point. The flood wasn't it. What about Adam? We'll just go back to Adam. Maybe there's a moment before he eats that fruit. Maybe there's a moment before he blames it on Eve. Dope. What was he doing? Maybe we could go back to that moment. Maybe there's a little wiggle. No. We already looked at Romans 5:12. Well, let's look at it one more time. Romans 5:12 tells us, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, what's that one man's name? Adam. And death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Adam is no restore point. So we're in trouble because we've just ran through all of human history. We've gone back as far as you can. But guess what? As far as we go back, the error of sin is still there. It was in the heart of Adam to disobey God. That what else? Well, I got a weird one. You have to think a little bit outside the box. But I do have another file here. And it's called the last Adam. Well, that's a peculiar thing to say. What we know about the first Adam, right? In Genesis. But Paul tells us something about the last Adam. Can we look at this verse together? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Verse 46. Next verse. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. All right, so we have two Adams here. We've got the first Adam. He was made of the dust of the earth. That's where he came from. But we have the last Adam. He was straight from where? Heaven. Go back to verse 45 here. So it's written, the first man, Adam, he became a living being. But the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Do you see the difference there? This one just is alive. This one makes you alive.
Yeah, all right, good. Yeah.
This one breathes. This one breathes life. Yeah. This is the last Adam. Can you give me another name for the last Adam?
Jesus.
Jesus is the last Adam. Now this can be rather confusing. Scripture declares Jesus to be the last Adam. Jesus Christ is the restore point that is before Adam and the fall of sin. Now, even though he's called the last Adam, Jesus is before Adam. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 tells us this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I want you to get this, that not only is Jesus the last Adam in an image of a perfect Adam, But Jesus is the image of the perfect creator. He is the image of the invisible God. Remember, I told you that a restore point took an image of the disc so it could take everything back to that beginning point where everything was okay. Guess what? The beginning point where everything was okay is resident in God, and he is invisible God, but he is made known and visible through Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. And he is the firstborn over all creation. So get this. Before mankind and the fall of sin, all of our files that are error-ridden and full of sin, he was there beforehand. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Let me tell you, you can look to a lot of things in life to try to make your life right. You could look to your mommy and daddy. You can look to your grandparents. You could look to your church. Some people go, man, if I could just find a church like my mom's church and go find that. You're delving into the past, and that's all well and good. There's a lot of good things you can get in the past, but you can't get a restore point from sin in the past unless you go to the firstborn of all creation, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Through Jesus, we are no longer sinners. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be restored to God. Verse 21, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you get this? That through Jesus, you are no longer sinners. I'm not saying you don't mess up. I don't say you don't fail. But I'm saying that you are so much more than just a sinner. You are actually the righteousness of God when you get a hold of Jesus Christ. That's who he is. And you can be reconciled to God. You can become the very righteousness of God. You can try to change your life. And I hope you do. I really do. But what you really need is to defeat sin. And only one has ever defeated sin. And it's Jesus. We need Jesus. Whatever you're struggling with today, Jesus is the one you need. He's here right now, ready to restore you. Do you believe that? I hope you do. That you can, in a moment, find restoration. There's a thing called repentance, where you turn towards Jesus and you are able to turn away from all your failure. You're able to turn away from all your sin. You're able to turn away from all your fear. And you turn to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you. And guess what? If you wait 5 years and are faithful and don't miss a church service, he'll forgive you. No, he will forgive you how quickly? Immediately. And every time. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we will confess our sins to him. That's what he does. The best thing you can do is say, God, I've got a user error. I've got a service error. Service is down, system down. God, I'm a failure. Please forgive me of my sin. I don't know where Chris Fluitt would be if he hadn't had that moment of corrective change in his life. You don't have to understand everything that we've talked about today. You don't have to understand it to receive it. Okay? You don't have to have it all figured out in order for him to do that work in your heart today. All you need really is this, faith. Can you have enough faith to say, maybe there's something to what I heard today? Maybe have enough faith to say, okay, God, I'm going to call on you and see what happens. Have enough faith to do that today. I know that Jesus, he's going to come on the scene when you do. I want to ask you real quick. We're about to open up these altars, but I want you to think this in your heart. Where is your trajectory facing today? Where are you headed in life today? Where's your family headed right now? Where's your finances headed? Where's your spiritual life? Where are you headed today? What is your trajectory? And are you willing to let Jesus change that trajectory? We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We worship God together. We all did that. Number two, we receive the Word of God together. We did that just now. And now the third thing is this, that we talk to God. What is talking to God? It's simply prayer. It's just a nice, simple way to think about prayer. In these next few moments, they're going to be singing. They're going to be worshiping. Why don't you take some moments to talk to God? I would invite you to come up here. If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet. That lets us know you want us to pray for you. I encourage you to just take a moment, either in your chair or up here in the altar, talking to God and asking God to bring change in your life. These altars are open right now. Come on, let's talk to God right now as I pray over you. Father, in your name, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving a sinner like me. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to change my life, God, and change my direction, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, all those areas of my life that are not correct, that are broken and messed up, Lord, right now, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to me about those things, Lord, and that there would be a change in my heart, Lord, that there be a change in my home, a change in my marriage, and a change in this church, God. Lord, bring that change right here in this place, Lord. If anyone is in need, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would have the courage and the faith to call on you, Lord. You are faithful and just to meet all of our needs and forgive us of all our sins. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's take some time. Let's talk to the Lord in this place.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.